The reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 27. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Randy. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you on this bank holiday weekend. Oh, Father, let's just pray now before we start. So, Father, we ask that you would open our hearts, our ears and our minds to what you want to say to us through Paul's words, whether that's through the sermon or through your Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, may it land in good soil, take root in our lives and produce fruit and bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're on week 4 of our sermon series called Serve to Serve. So far we've thought about the reason why we serve, how we're formed to serve, and that financial giving is part of what we do when we serve God. So this week we're going to think a little bit more specifically about how as a church community we serve one another. And then next week we're going to look at how we serve the world around us. So I wonder what comes into mind if I ask you, what is a minister? So what do you think? What is a minister? Scott, yeah. Is that it? Anything else? Leader, inspirer, yeah. Andy? Oh, I thought you put your hand up, sorry. someone who serves. Any other ideas? Okay. So let's just put the next slide up if you want my place. So yeah, on the most basic level, a minister is someone who has a ministry to other people on behalf of Jesus. So whether that's like upfront trained ministry, helping with children's groups, making people feel welcome, or many loads of other voluntary ways that we help out in church or community. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've put your faith in him, Jesus has a ministry in mind for you. Every single one of you is a minister. So I'm going to try and persuade you of that now. I know so many of you already serve so faithfully in your own ministries in a wide variety of ways in this church and also in the community as well. And we're just so grateful that you do. Thank you for that. And I hope this morning will be an encouragement to you and not add any more pressure to you, because that's not what I'm trying to do. But for those of you who haven't yet dipped your toe into the pool of serving, maybe you've just started coming here. Maybe you're just trying to figure out what this is all about. I hope this is going to help you in some way too. So whenever Paul writes a letter to a particular church, it's usually because he wants to encourage them in what they're doing well. He might want to sort out some misunderstandings or sometimes set them straight because they've wandered away from what he taught them when he first visited them. So chapter 12 is, as we've just read, is Paul trying to correct some things he's not quite happy with. And it's their misunderstandings around spiritual gifts, what they are and how they're meant to be used, that's led to a few divisions in the church. The church community really should have love at the heart of everything. And anything that gets in the way of that love needs tackling. So spiritual gifts are special abilities that God gives through the Holy Spirit to each of us when we become believers. And Paul tells us there's a variety of gifts and that every person gets at least one. The ones he's just mentioned in that passage is just a few of the possible 20 that we can pinpoint through the Old and New Testaments, but we'll come back to that a bit later. So the church at Corinth has decided that some gifts are more special than others, probably the more supernatural ones, such as prophecy, words of knowledge, healing, and in particular the gift of tongues, that ability to speak an unknown language that it mentioned this morning. So they thought the people who had these gifts were superior or more spiritually mature than those who had the more down-to-earth gifts. And the people that had these most exciting gifts end up being proud and feeling more self-important, more concerned about what that gift means for them rather than what it might mean to the rest of the church and how it would benefit others. So Paul has to point out to them that the Holy Spirit is the one who chooses those gifts, who chooses who gets which gift, and that each gift has been given for the benefit of the whole church, not just an individual who has it. And absolutely certainly not because God approved of some people more than others. So when they're creating divisions over who has what, they're being neither loving or valuing each other as equally as they should. So every single believer has been filled with the exact same Holy Spirit. There's no super Christians here amongst us or anywhere. There's no one single gift that every believer gets. All gifts are charismata, that's the Greek word for it. And charis means grace. Charismata is grace gifts. So they're freely given without us paying for it or having earned it. And if a church describes itself as a charismatic church, generally people think it means that they are open to people using more supernatural visible gifts in their services. But actually every church should be using all the gifts that God gives them, all of them, to be called fully charismatic. And many do, thankfully, but not all, to be honest. And because they are gifts of grace, we can't earn them or choose them. They're handpicked, especially by the Holy Spirit, for each of you to fit us perfectly. And as with the human body, the church is like this one big giant organism made up of unique individual parts. If all our parts were identical, like Paul says, If every part was an ear, he says, it'd just be one giant ear. What could you do with that? So we could have the next slide, please. So I think the church can only do what God created it to do in this place where it exists, if it's made up of a large variety of people with diverse roles to play, all working together with that unity in mind. It's not a lot of individual people doing their own individual thing, but it's interdependence. We all depend on one another. We each rely on each other's contribution. The church isn't meant to be like going along to a football match where we get to sit in a seat in the crowd watching others perform for our benefit and then going home and coming back the next week, repeat and repeat. It's not a spectator sport, is it? It's more like going along to a match and getting stuck in. Whether it's on the pitch or coaching the team, whether you're cutting the grass, being the ref, making the half-time refreshments, taking care of injuries, running a kids team and so on, driving the team bus, washing up, being a physio, all manner of things, lots of things that need to be there to help that team work best as they can together. So this church will only be able to reach those who need Jesus, care for one another as a family, love our neighbours, worship God, grow as disciples, and be that public witness to the power of the gospel in our community if we all play our part. You are all needed, all valued, and all indispensable. So when you think about it, you know, we all come from these varied different backgrounds, don't we? Different ages, different cultures, different ethnicities, but we're all united around Jesus. It's the only thing we really need to have in common. So every gift matters. And Paul says that we should be informed about them because God expects us to use them. He expects us, first of all, to know what we have, then use them and develop them and grow them with his help. You know, can you imagine if you've spent a lot of money choosing a really special gift for someone that you love, something they'll really enjoy and want to use or wear all the time. And just a hint for you guys here, it's probably not going to be that set of pans or the new iron for your other half, believe me. Though to be fair, there was that time I did ask my husband for a blowtorch to do some welding, but you know, I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, I digress. You know, just imagine wrapping this gorgeous gift up with love and care. And then think, how would you feel if this person then put it away in a cupboard, still wrapped up, not even interested with what's inside it? How would it feel for God to have so carefully chosen our gifts for us not to ever find out what's inside, let alone use what they are? Can I have the next slide, please? So the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another and do it with all the energy that God supplies. This will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. So as I mentioned earlier, there's about 20 different gifts and I've made a list for you. I'm sorry, it's probably not hugely clear, but I thought rather than spreading it over 6 or 7 slides, I'd try and squeeze it all in together. So there's so many possible gifts. And I don't have time to unpick what each one is and how it works, but if anybody does want to know, and you can always email me and I'll send you the list with what each gift means. You're very welcome to do that if it would be helpful. So how do we find out what our gifts are out of that massive list? So have the next slide, please. So to start with, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. Everyone has some natural talents they're born with, but spiritual gifts are just for believers. It doesn't mean we can't use our natural talents for God as part of that service for him. And we're encouraged to offer our whole self to God, aren't we? But that's in addition to the spiritual gifts. And if you're sitting here thinking, no, I don't know what all this means for me, I really don't know what God might want me to do next, there's a couple of ways you can find out. One is to ask people who know you well. What do you think I'm good at? What do you see me doing with the things that I can do well? Come and have a chat with Scott, me or Janice, and you can try things out. Volunteer for something you think might interest you. And then just give it a go. And talk to the people in the team that you're doing it with. See what they think. See if they think you fit. See if you think it's something that you could be doing for a bit longer. But if not, you don't have to stick with the first thing you try. You can try several. You might need some training to be able to do some things. You might just learn as you go along. And many people do find out what their gifts are this way. The other way, if you want to find out more about what all the individual gifts are and how God has shaped you for service in more detail, is to do the SHAPE course. That's what the thing on the screen is now. And we call it SHAPE for a reason. So S is your spiritual gifts. We do a questionnaire for yourself and for the people that you know to find out which ones you might have. H is what things are on your heart. So we're all made to care about different things, aren't we? What excites me might not be anything you're enthusiastic about, and it doesn't have to be. A is your abilities, so things you're naturally good at, things you might have learnt through all the years. P is your personality, and it does play a big part about how you're wired up, whether you're introvert, whether you're extrovert, whether you prefer working alone or in a team. Are you a people person, or are you better doing tasks? And finally, then E, what experience have you had in life that's unique to you that God might use for the benefit of other people? So we look at all these things together. God sees and uses our whole self. Everything that has shaped you up to this time, nothing is wasted for God. And we're not the product of chance. God has lovingly designed and created us in his image for a purpose. So all these aspects of who we are important to God. So we need to think carefully about how he has shaped us and what he shaped us for. And this is what the SHAPE course is for. It's designed to help you. And at the end of doing the course, if you join us in September for it, will be that you'll have a chance to talk things through with somebody and put your results all together to make a big picture and find out where the best place to serve is for you. Now, that place could be on a Sunday morning, but it could also be during the week. It could be connecting with and serving with others in the community. It could be volunteering in an organization outside the church. It could be with your neighbors. It could be through your work. But just one caution, though. Just finding out your gifts doesn't stop you from being or doing things to help out in other places just in the short term. They just tell us what we do best. And our shape isn't fixed for the whole of our lives. God continues to grow and develop us if we let him. So it's always worth revisiting what your gifts are now and then to see if things have changed or if you need to develop them in some way. So from my own experience, spiritual gifts are often revealed gradually over time. As our relationship with God grows, our relationship with other people. Personally, I'm so glad that God did not reveal to me once I became a Christian that I would end up being here, leading and preaching, because back then I could not have imagined anything more terrifying. And I would have run as fast as I could, as far as I could, and you wouldn't have seen me for dust. But thank you. Thankfully, he did ease me in very slowly over time, with lots of support from you and encouragement as well, which are both spiritual gifts. Thankfully, you know, we can find out what we're made to do personally for ourselves. And the worst thing I think we can do is to compare ourselves to other people. We see things that other Christians are doing and we feel that either they're better or more spiritual than we are, they're doing more, or we wish we had their gifts, and it can turn into envy and discouragement if we're not careful. And also the amount of time that we can give will vary throughout the seasons of our lives. It'll depend on work and family commitments, your own health, the health of loved ones. And God knows that perfectly, and so do we. The service that we do quietly in the background, often hidden from sight, may seem like it's boring or mundane or repetitive, but it's absolutely indispensable. It's vital to the health of the whole church. All gifts and all kinds of serving are needed. As we serve one another, we're fulfilling a commandment of Jesus in John's Gospel. And he says this just before he goes to the cross to sacrifice his own life as the greatest act of love and service to us. Could we just have the next slide, Simon, please? So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, showing that love means carrying one another's burdens, sharing the workload, not letting others become burned out through overwork or doing work that they're not gifted for. We all need to keep our eyes open and look for those who may be overburdened and offer to help and carry the load, even if it's just temporary while we're finding the best fit for us. We show honour to one another as we accept how wonderfully made we are, how different, how unique, and we love and care as we love and care for each other and encourage one another to find our place in the body. So I just want to leave you this one thought. God created you. He sent Jesus to make a relationship with you possible. He called you. He saved you. He put his Holy Spirit in you, along with one or more spiritual gifts. And he gives you all the power that you need to use them. And he promises his ongoing, continuous presence to help you do what he's called you to do. Each of us has our own ministry to others. So we need to ask ourselves, are we using our gifts to the best in the season that we're in now? In our present circumstances, do we need to grow them? Do we need to develop them a bit more? Is it time to take the next step with God? Or is that gift still sat there on a shelf in its beautiful wrapping, waiting for you to open it and enjoy using it? I promise you, nothing would delight God any more than you finding a real purpose of life as you start to develop that ministry and grow it. So if you're waiting for God's permission, you've got it. You already have it. So do come and talk to Scott, myself, or Janice if you'd like to have helped by volunteering. And when September comes, do sign up for the course. I'd love to see as many of you as possible there on the SHAPE course and see what God has got in mind for you. So let's just take a bit of time to think through that. What is your take-home thing today? Then I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen. If you'd like to make a commitment today to God to find out how he wants you to minister to others, you can join me in saying this prayer on the screen if you'd like to. So, Father, thank you for being so generously giving spiritual gifts to everyone who belongs to you through Jesus. Help us to better understand what those gifts mean for each of us. Reveal the gift or gifts you've given us. Show us how we can use our gifts the way you want us to. Help us to be active participants in your church so together we can bless others and glorify you in Jesus' name.